Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
And welcome to Slamfire Radio, your home for fun with guns. Now, with 50% less furlot. I'm Owen Flewelling.
I'm Matthew McClatchy, and this week we got special guest Tim Foley joining us. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Who's too busy giggling now about Trevor's expense?
He's only 50% gone, so 50% well, less Trevor.
Yeah, wait a sec. Where's the other 50?
Well,
did you cut him
know.
In two?
That magician's Oops. Trick, let me tell you, that only works in the movies.
I hope you kept the better half, but which?
So Christina's going to be joining us then. But actually, Trevor is speeding to his compound as we speak and should be joining us later on, so you will hear the dulcet tones of the fur latte later on, probably.
Well, we could tires in the driveway?
What was that, Owen?
I say that was why I figured it was 50% less.
Makes sense.
He'll be here partway through, right?
Yes.
But we have 100% more Foley, so there you go.
Here comes the foliage comment.
The foliage. I never even made that connection. I'm that slow.
That's okay.
So, foliage.
So, brought to you.
Here it goes. Roughage foliage, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so Matthew, what did you do this week?
Well, I'm going to defer to Tim. Tim, what did you do this week?
Hey, Tim,
and I'm going to defer to Trevor. Oh, wait.
Okay. Oh, he's not here. Well, I guess it's me. No.
All right, well, that's wrapping up what we did with guns this week. Let's move into the main topic.
Airplanes. No, wait. Okay, I guess I can do
yes,
a
Tim,
short...
please.
Yeah, unlike when I get onto my podcast and go on for hours and my visa burns. It's not a good thing. Anyways, let's see. Last match I shot was CQB in Ontario back on June 1st. So that's a couple weeks back. More recently, as I mentioned on our podcast,
Canadian Service Conditions Radio.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, Tim is a host of another podcast. He just mentioned it, though, so I don't have to anymore.
I stick to the co-host part. That way Brian has to do all the work, and I just sit back and be pure entertainment.
That's how you do it. That's it. I'm a co-host.
Do you know anything about computers, Tim? Nope. I got my fingers and toes crossed. But anyways, as I mentioned, finally my Mark 18 Mod 1, which maybe some people on CGN have seen me posting about, all the parts have finally come in, including the Knights Armament parts.
So what exactly is that for the people who don't understand all the numbers?
That is one of those wickedly cool special forces type, carbines. It's a shortened version of a Colt M4. No, I'm not going for 10X. Forget it.
Okay.
I just realized that, oh, here comes... Don't mention Scottish stuff from McClatchy. He's just going to go on for hours.
So it's an AR-15 is what you're saying.
It's shortened M4, yep. It's a little 11-inch guy. You'll see it in all the pictures. The SEALs have got it. The Rangers have got it. It's the in thing lately.
So I've got an 11-inch barreled AR-15. Does that mean I'm cool too?
I guess you're cool. But is it Daniel Defense...
No,
Mark
18 no, oh, no, okay. no, definitely
is
not.
Is it a Colt? No.
No, definitely not. No.
That's okay. You're still... Wait a sec. Yours was free.
Well, not my receiver. I had to pay for that, yeah. No, the rest of it pretty much was.
Well, it's got a lot of flat dark earth on it, which I guess, big deal.
But, so can you just wash that off? Or?
I can plant stuff in it. Owen would like that.
And then it would be
rifle.
Green.
I am prepping in my rail. But the funny part is we were having a good laugh, me and Brian, about, I guess, FDE or whatever is, or Coyote is probably trademarked by somebody. And so Knights Armament couldn't use it or didn't use it. So their term for the brown is taupe.
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 Okay.
Yes, I'm a manly man. I bought a taupe front sight. Yeah. just no.
I don't believe taupe is one of the approved man colors.
It comes from knights, dude. KC, so it's awesome. But
so if they have started calling it taupe, that means we now see in 17 colors instead of 16.
It just gets stranger by the day.
It's brown and taupe, apparently. We now have two words for brown.
There you go.
Did I ever tell you the story about driving through Woodstock with David, and I see someone I know, my sister actually, standing on a lawn. It was a big gather. It was a big to-do at this place. Anyway, I was like, oh, there's my sister to him. She's in the teal shirt.
Oh, boy.
And he kind of looks sideways at me. You mean blue? And I'm like, yeah, crap. Blue. That's what I meant.
Hey, Chevy did a Camaro in teal. It's now an acceptable color.
And ducks. There's a duck that's teal, right?
There is a green wing teal and a blue wing teal, yes.
So, you know, I guess those are marginally acceptable. You only have to turn in half
not.
Your man card.
Taupe is not.
And then, to top it off even worse is the typical flash hider that comes with it, though I'm sure once every unit gets a hold of the rifle, they modify to their own heart's content, but is the Knight's Armament quick detach for the suppressor.
Oh, right.
Not that we can get an M4 QD up here.
No.
But so I got this awesome-looking flash hider that looks so wicked, yet what can I put on it? So that's the only gotcha. But it wasn't taupe, so I was happy.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I'm not sure if anybody ever jumped on that order with S&J for the mags. They were bringing a whole ton of C product mags for dirt cheap, like 15, 20 bucks, whatever it was, like a ton of them. And everybody pre-ordered like mad. Apparently their order got damaged, like an entire skid got damaged.
Ooh.
I don't know how metal mags can get that well damaged. I'd gladly take the, you know, remains.
So but, what type of mags are these? Are these just regular GI mag kind of things?
Yeah, regular GI. C products made, they used to be aluminum, and I think these ones were steel. They used to make awesome mags. There's a big story behind C products, and it's all over the web, and you can read it to your heart's content about the owner and the co-owner going out of business and whatever. It's been reopened. But... he actually, S&J emailed me and said, or emailed everyone and said that they got a different model or a different make of mag that is apparently better, but they're selling it for the same price, so whatever. So I confirmed the order with that. So it was nice to have some mags coming in this drought.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
And other than that, I'm just sitting here cleaning my Mark 18. So what about you guys?
Well, I went quote-unquote hunting. And that's me walking in the woods with my gun. Well, this time of year, there's not really much to hunt. I just like going out saying that I'm shooting at groundhogs and gophers and coyotes and whatnot. But really, I'm not. I'm just walking in the woods with my gun. But anyway,
magnifying glass burning ants, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. The 22 was too much. So I the pellet gun was too much. So I'm down to I bypassed the slingshot, went way straight to a magnifying glass.
Which 22 pellet gun have you got? I forgot to ask. You got the pistol. Which one?
I got the Crossman 2240.
2240. No, that's not the one. I've got the, I forgot the name of it. The pump, the front, the long one, the pump, the match
oh,
gun.
Oh, you have the 1322.
Is it 1322?
Is it a 22 cal or 17?
It's 22.
Yeah, it's a 1320. Yep. It's a Crossman?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's apparently a collector's item now.
I've actually got one in the mail.
No way. There you go.
Yeah, I got the one with the camping stock for it, too. The
1322 medalist or something like that. Now you're bringing it back to me. Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's not really... I mean, it's sort of gun-related, but it's pellet gun-related, and they get mad at me for talking 22s, so I'm going to go back to my airport story, actually. I was out hunting, and I found an old abandoned airport out in the middle of nowhere on Crown Land. And where it's Crown Land, I can legally hunt there.
Hunted airplanes?
I could hunt at airplanes, but it's abandoned, so they're, you know...
You hunted abandoned airplanes?
Anyway, the runway is 600 meters long. There's a bit of a hump in the middle, but I do have access to about 500 meters now. So nice straight shot. There's trees like very tall on both sides, and the back ends in sort of an uphill. So there's actually a safe shooting direction to shoot in. And so the wind's going to whistle across the top of it. And as we all, well, most pilots know anyway, airports and runways are usually facing into the wind, the prevailing wind. So... there'll be little crosswinds there, hopefully.
Nice.
But, I'll be able to take the Axis out and do some 500-meter shooting, or if I'm so inclined, take the 22 out and see if I can arc that puppy in. But, yeah, so that was fun. A fun story from school. Apparently, guns in New Brunswick do not result in strip searches.
What?
Yeah.
We are way behind the times.
Yeah, we kind of are. I've talked a little bit about this on CRR a couple of times where, you know, guns have been drawn on the whiteboard and stuff and, you know, nothing really happened. But this week kind of takes the cake so far. On Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the teachers had YouTube up showing the kids an educational video. And one of the ads, you know how they have the ads kind of on the side of YouTube there? It was for an airsoft store. So there's this 1911, that's for you, Bolivar.
Wicked.
1911, you know, one-to-one replica of, you know, of the 1911 just sitting there in the corner of the smart board. You know, the gun's got to be 2 feet by, you know, 2 feet by 2 feet wide, just sitting there in the front. Not a single person batted an eye. Not a student even pointed at it and giggled. The teacher just walked right on by, didn't care a bit, nothing. Just, you know.
Matthew ran up and clicked on it.
I was tempted. I was really tempted.
Bye. Click bye.
And then, actually, oh, look at that. Look. Who's this?
It'll be false advertising because then it'll be.
Quick, hang up.
Finally, it'll be 75% for a lot, and not just 50%.
Yeah,
now it's
75% for a lot.
I apologize, folks.
That's okay. We're recording, Trevor, so just roll with it, man.
Oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah. So, welcome to the show, Trevor. It's nice to have you with us.
You ever have one of those days where absolutely everything goes wrong?
Yes, I have. But it's my turn to talk. So, shh. You can vent later, after Owen.
What? I can smell his head burning from here.
It'll be okay, Trevor. I was just actually getting ready to tell them the story about how I got called to the office at school.
Don't care.
No problem. So that was Trevor.
I told him goodbye, Trevor.
Yeah, I just hung up on Trevor.
He's so going to cut you.
No, I just hung up on him. So
not getting any better.
Oh,
right?
He's back on. He's too quick at this clicking thing.
Oh, that's what she said. Tell the story.
All right, so I'm at school. This is after the Airsoft ad on the smart board for, you know, 30 minutes. So I get called to the office, and I'm like, okay. So I go down, and the secretary wants to know what gun she should buy her daughter. And what range she should become a member of in Fredericton. I'm like, only in New Brunswick.
I love it.
So, but anyway.
Wait. Matthew, this is the same school that recently had a wear camo to school day, isn't it?
That is correct. We had a wear camo to school day.
Love it.
It is a cool school to work at, let me tell you.
Can we move this school to Ontario?
What's that?
Can we move this school to Ontario?
Well, then it could get ruined?
Yeah. Anyway, that was pretty much my week. So, Trevor, I can hear myself in your background. So, if you can turn your speakers down a little bit, we're going to move into Owen. What did you do this week, man?
Well, not a whole lot. I went for a walk with my antique pistol.
Cool. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Is that the one you put in pillowcases and beat Trevor with?
That's the one.
And I think folks probably remember last week when I put 100 primers into the Dillon. This week I actually loaded 50 rounds of 9mm.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hey.
That's like one stage, one long stage in IPSC.
Don't you have a 650?
Yeah.
50 rounds takes like, what, a minute and a half?
It maybe, yeah.
That's just how busy this guy is, folks.
Okay, yeah, then. I just don't have time. And then Tuesday night, ran another IPSC match in Woodstock. Second one.
Wow.
How'd it go?
It rained all evening.
I think Trevor has some comments about that too later on.
Yeah.
I've shot twice this year that wasn't raining.
Yeah. But it was good. We had a couple people didn't show because of the rain, but that's all right. I just let them know they were pansies and, you know, we continued on. And yeah, it was good and a little more interesting. I did some changing up on the stages this time. Made things a little more difficult. A lot more dynamic direction, I'll say.
Well, that's cool. Dynamic direction. I like that term too.
Yeah, you had to do a lot of back and forth with the gun, and we had a couple people come very close to
DQs. To that 90 line, yeah.
Yep, very close. But they saw it coming and they corrected and, you know,
good.
It was all
well, that's,
good.
That's a good thing to be throwing into your matches is this dynamic direction. I really like that term because it really does teach people to watch their muzzle. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to break 90 and, you know, it's easy to do if you're not thinking about it. So it's nice to get these people trained and have that at the forefront of their mind.
And these Tuesday night matches, this is really what it's for, to give these new guys experience, you know, as best as I can with running matches and how all the different things they might encounter and get them used to seeing it so that when they go to a bigger match, you know, they're not being thrown to the sharks right immediately.
Yeah. Speaking of sharks, did anybody get, you know, hosed by, you know, by maybe somebody who's a bit more experienced than them at this match?
Well, I don't really have that much more experience, but well, I won, but
he
I
ran it and won it.
And how much did you win it by?
Oh, about 50%.
You didn't tell him about the little plate on the floor, right? The move that last target. Oops! Did I miss that?
No, there was some nasty stuff in there, and the penalty targets covering. You know, a couple targets at 25 yards, and when I put a penalty target on top of a scoring target, I left about 4 inches at the top, 5 inches at the top. You know, like that wasn't quite at 25, but
just
that was,
enough to squeak one in, kind of.
Yeah,
you know.
you had to be accurate.
You know that when you cover a shoot target with a penalty target, you have to leave at least 50% of the A zone.
Yeah, well, it was close enough.
maybe a quarter.
Do whatever I want.
Well, it was a level one after all.
Yeah, it's just a level one. So I mean, it's basically a club level match and
made to make people suffer.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing is trying to become hated by all the Ipswich people in Woodstock.
So you want to kind of be like Chris Kingston with his no shoots?
Oh yeah, is he a little no shoot?
We
happy?
Had the stage in the last match. Oh, yeah. Well, the stage in the last match, I designed it and I called it Blame Kingston. And every target had no shoot on it. He couldn't be there, so I stepped up for him.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
God,
that's
this good. Sounded like the three gun again.
Yeah. Are you going to come back to that three gun, Foley?
That's actually going to be the interesting dilemma. I'm trying to sell the VW, the Jetta there, because I got a company car now and I need money to buy guns again.
Right.
So if I can sell the Jetta, what are we going to use to get there? Well, I guess we could abuse the company vehicle.
I'm okay with that.
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. It doesn't
well,
fully, get a thousand.
Well, Bolivar's comfortable with it, or is it Jewel that's comfortable with it?
Yeah. Just as long as you put it somewhere comfortable.
That's right.
And then turn around and go back home.
Turn around.
There.
Yeah,
that's for you, Bolivar, and maybe Jewel. Was that for Jewel?
I don't know. Jewel doesn't listen, so she probably won't get it.
Right.
Yeah, that's for the listeners who are kind of new and don't understand what we're talking about these last 2 minutes. It's an ongoing joke where Bolivar pretty much put his foot in his mouth and then started
rather
digging
well.
A hole and then buried himself. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. We'll have to get him on to tell the story sometime. That's what
Scott
we'll do.
Never forget it.
Yeah.
No, he'll just beg again to be on. Don't do it.
No, that's true.
That reminds me. He said that we had to cut you loose because you had a commitment to another show or something.
Yeah, apparently. But as you guys say, it's such a pigeonhole. This is much more open here.
But it's a good pigeonhole. It's not, that wasn't a negative.
Oh, no. It's just entertainment. See, you don't remember. I don't think you ever heard the story of how he dragged me. I mean, got me on the show. as we're like... getting our range bags and heading out to the line to get ready. He starts mentioning that he's running the podcast. And by the way, I want to interview you. Oh, okay. No, by the way, you're going to be a co-host, basically. He basically shanghaied me into it. I think there's shackles involved. Nah, it's okay. It's not bad now.
No, it's good.
So that's pretty much all I did anyway. And yeah.
Cool.
So
all right.
Trevor, you're
yes.
here.
Yes.
What'd you do?
Just in time. What did I do? Okay, so we got rained out twice last weekend. We were supposed to have an 8-stage match on Saturday, and we canceled Friday due to the pending storm. And
now, was that the one where everybody else finished, but just you went home?
No, no, we can't. Oh, Pierre Luc loves you for that. Yeah, he's got their interruption machine on tonight.
I've been waiting.
So we rescheduled the match for the following day, and that was very unfortunate because it conflicted with a Fredericton match, and a lot of us wanted to go, and we don't like holding two matches on the same day because New Brunswick is a small place, and it's bad mojo. But we knew we were going to get rained out, so we moved it to the next day, and the next day, yeah, we got rained out anyway, and
everybody finished but Trevor. Was that it, or was there a couple of other people that went with you, Trevor?
Are you done?
No, but continue anyway.
You're just going to wait for the next opportunity? Everyone except for six people quit.
And there were eight people there.
There was five people there and six quit. What?
the beauty of it was there's one guy there who I was giving him a hard time during the Black Badge mini match. He was like, do we really have to shoot? It's kind of raining, and I don't want to get muddy. And I'm like, listen, pal, if you don't want to shoot in the rain, if you don't want to shoot in the mud, go join PPC. You know, this is IPTIC. We shoot in all types of weather. And I was like, second guy to quit.
Look, let me tell you, shooting in the rain is miserable. It really is.
You know what I hate the most about it?
You get wet?
Nope.
Cold. You get cold?
Dealing with the score sheets.
Man.
Yes. We have the solution.
Okay. An umbrella? Don't say an umbrella. Seriously.
No. I am going to build a covered score sheet box that it will actually be a box you carry with your score sheets underneath.
So basically a little birdhouse that's big enough to stick your score sheets in, and you stick your hand through the front.
And your Fritos.
Yes.
And your Fritos, and your ammo, and you might as well put it on a cart. Maybe just attach it to the ground, call it a building. I don't know.
If the score sheets were smaller, you could just put them inside the large Ziploc freezer bag. That's what we did in archery. You could get your hand in there, your pen in there, and no problem.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So it got moved to the next day and we got rained out. So because we got rained out, some people wanted to continue fine, but we rescheduled the classifiers that we were holding that day to tonight. So we shot just six classifiers tonight, and it went well. I was happy with it. The guy who I'm coaching, we were on the range at 3 o'clock. Classifiers started at 6. Well, we're scheduled to start at 6. Had another great coaching session with Remy, and he's going to be dangerous. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to take him a whole lot farther because he is dangerous.
You were coaching him?
Yes.
He was at the Black Badge that I helped you with, right?
Yes.
He was the guy punching ragged holes in the center of the target, right?
Yes. And then after that.
Ringer.
Is he running production or standard?
Standard.
Oh, good.
He's got that STI I took to Woodstock that time.
Right, yes. I'm okay with this. You know, you coach him away.
Yeah. Chris Kingston's like, what have you done? Oh, because he's bought into the philosophy accuracy before speed. Mm-hmm. And because like Mo said, accuracy is fine, or speed is fine, but accuracy is final. Anyway, he's already in the top three, four standard guys in our club. It's not going to be good. We're going to have to be very careful because, he's stone cold. He can really lay it down. I had him shooting groups at 20 meters today, and he just did an absolute fantastic job. So anyway, I'm taking him through drills and whatnot, and we're still working a couple hours a week. And then he shot tonight and did really, really well. I had one reshoot. I had a smoking run on the classifier where there's four boxes, three targets. You engage each target with a minimum of two rounds each. Run to the next box, mandatory reload along the way. You have to shoot when both feet are in the box. So you do this four times until you get to the end. I had a smoking run, and I had a ton of hits. One of my targets had 8 alpha on it. And the other one was like 6 and 2, and the other one was not quite as pretty. It was like 4 and 4 or something. But the time, you know, the hits were great. The time was good. Timer died. I had to reshoot it.
No.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, Tim.
For the non-IPSC guys, that would be me. What the devil is a classifier? It's probably some listeners don't know either.
That's a good question, Tim. I'm glad you brought that up. Classifier in IPSC, every time you go to a match, the Stages are different because they're created by people like Owen, Matthew, myself, Chris Kingston.
Sadistic people, yes.
Sadistic people, that's right. And so the stages that we design, you never see the same one twice. So it's very difficult to compare one IPSC shooter against another one, especially in different regions, because, you know, in Owen's club, maybe they do a lot of running and gunning. In the Fredericton club, maybe, I'm just using them as an example, maybe they do a lot of stand and deliver. In our club, we have these really elaborate props, so it's hard to get a good, accurate measure of how to compare each other. 3D archery was very much the same. Every time you went to a tournament, different animals, different locations, different terrain, different distances. So what a classifier is IPSC World has standardized a couple of courses of fire, short, medium, and long, and they're very specific on how you set them up. The targets have to be measured exactly. They have to be at a certain height. The distance between the targets are measured. The whole thing is off of one center line. It's very, very, very specific, and they have to be set up the same way everywhere they're put on anywhere in the world. The classifiers are then shot, and your scores are submitted to IPSC World, and given you, everybody has an alias. It's like an IPSC nickname, and that's what they use online. They don't use your real name. They use your alias. So, you know, Matthew is Bauer. I'm Callahan. Harold's Batman, etc. So then you're ranked A, B, C, D. God, I hope there's a few under E because I'm still a D shooter. And when the reason why this is important, Tim, to get ranked or classified, when you go to a major shoot, if you're not classified, you're shooting with the A shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that pretty quickly.
Yeah. So
why do they do it that way?
Because who knows? Maybe you're a sandbagger. Right? So
they'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, you could be some master shooter who's just never bothered to classify. And then just so you could get a little cheap piece of Taiwanese $3 tin with the name of the match and the date on it, and that's important to you, right? But then again, if you see the awards that we have at this year's Nationals, I don't want to throw any spoilers out there, but $9,000 in awards, also, I'll just say that much. Anyway, so that's classifiers, Tim, and that's why we have them.
Cool, okay, thanks.
Yeah, so other than that one, then I did something tonight I've never done in a match before, and I started to creep going for my gun.
Ooh, somebody's stepping up the gaming.
Wow, man, I've never done it. It was an automatic thing. It was not a conscious thing. It would definitely happen subconsciously, and I paid for it, Matthew, because when I knew I was creeping, I stopped, and then the buzzer went, and I was still frozen for a couple of seconds going, oh, no, what do I do?
Grab the gun and go.
Yeah, I better just. Yeah, so I had a great run, but cost me some time. 2 seconds of hesitation. So,
that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. And then, in a big hurry to leave the range and rush here in time. And I would have been about 5 minutes late for the show or whatever if you guys would have started at the regular time. But I got almost. I was about 15 minutes away from home when I realized I forgot some stuff at the range, turned around, went back. And then I got here and my computer wouldn't start.
But I remember how fast you drive back and forth to the range. So
you got it, buddy. You got it. Yeah. So that's me, gentlemen. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Trevor. We really are.
I don't believe a word of it, except Tim. I know Tim likes me, but you two.
I'm still the president of the Ferlate fan club.
Yeah, the one and only member, founder, oh, hey. Sole member.
I'm treasurer, too. Can I have some money?
Trevor will send it to you.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, do you want to summarize what the main topic is about tonight?
Hang on. Before I get into the main topic, I want to pick on – unfortunately, I think I have to pick on Trevor for a second.
Uh-oh.
What's that bullpup I shoot?
The what?
The bullpup.
Bullpup rifle.
What's the name of his rifle?
It's a Tavor.
Now he says it right.
Yeah.
I've never said Tavor.
Oh, yeah.
I've never said Tavor.
Two or three episodes ago, it was driving me nuts. I'm in my car going, he's doing it again just to get me.
Tavor. It's like, is my name Trevor or Trevor? Yeah. I mean,
or like,
no, it's Trevor.
Trevor.
And it is Tavor. Thank you, Matthew, for correcting me. And I wasn't even on the internet.
Yeah, no. Normally, it's only when you're on Wikipedia that I fix it. But, you know.
That's right.
Well, and how's And how? Sorry to really squirrel moment there, but how's Jason doing now?
Jason unfortunately lost an apartment building last night. For those, we've talked about Jason Burns on the show before. He's an IPSC member. He has a Tavor as well, and he was supposed to be out shooting classifiers tonight. He's a landlord here in the city of Campbellton, and he's got several buildings. I'm sitting in one of his buildings right now, actually, and he lost a building last night. So Jason McIntyre, his house burnt down. And Jason, maybe you were talking about him. I don't know.
I was. But, that's fine. Oh. The guy shoots the Tavor. I like him now.
Well, I thought you knew it. I thought you were talking about Jason Burns because you knew Jason Burns has a Tavor. And when I shoot the Tavor, I shoot Jason Burns' Tavor. Anyway, yeah, so he's got a tragedy going on, too. He lost one of his buildings last night.
Like, you know, fire kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's a little two Jasons, two fires?
Yeah.
All the story is foil. Don't name your kids Jason.
I guess so, unless you want their house to burn down.
Do you have any other friends named Jason? I just want to know.
I do, actually.
Talk to him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, which Dylan Press did he have that got destroyed?
He had the 650.
Ah, oh, good man. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and we borrowed, actually, Remy, the guy I coach, he bought a 450 or a 550 loaded with different calibers and everything, got it for an incredibly good deal, wasn't using it. He bought it just to set it up for 45.
Right.
And he lent it to Jason, and we tried to put that thing together. Oh, man.
It's not a 650.
It's not a 650. For a machine that's supposed to be a little bit more basic or simpler, the primer feeding system is a lot more complicated. Well, if you had never worked with it before. You know.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well, now he's getting his press replaced by the manufacturer, I understand, right? You mentioned. No?
No, they reneged.
Ah, too
bad. Just like Matthew reneged. That's the word you were looking for last week, Matthew. Not rescind. Renege.
Okay. I rescinding?
You were reneging the deal on the 9mm projectiles.
Yes, I totally did. Owen, you and I are splitting those now.
First you said recant. Then you said rescind.
So he rescinded the agreement.
10X let it go. So the deal was they were going to replace it straight up if they were provided a copy of the fire report. Right. And when Sal called back and said, okay, I've got a copy of the fire report. Who do I send it to? And they were like, hold on. They come back and said, no, sorry, we can't do that. The best we can do is 22% off.
Which
is still...
No argument. That's still a good deal, especially if they can't keep these things in stock. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to, you know, I certainly don't want to sound like I'm criticizing Dylan. I mean, you know, other companies.
It was just somebody who had spoken before they, spoken at a turn, basically.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that, yeah. But I mean, there was a lot of fundraising, and thank you to the listeners. I don't know if I've come online and said this yet, but listeners sent me EMTs. Listeners sent EMTs to Chris Kingston, not just people from the province of New Brunswick. People from outside of New Brunswick have donated money to help Jason get back on his feet, and he's very appreciative, and so am I, because we put out the call, and the both CRR and Slamfire listeners stepped up. So. Thank you very much, guys. You know, the gun community is a wonderful community to be in.
Did they at least give you the passwords this time?
All but one?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. That reminds me, speaking of passwords, we still have tickets available on the Daniel Defense M4V5 rifle. So if you want to get after that, it's 3 for $20 or 1 for $10. Send us an EMT. Guns are us. At nb.simpatico.ca. Get some tickets so you can get your Daniel Defense on. Yeah.
And that's guns with a Z.
Yes, thank you. You're a listener. Wow.
And a backwards R. You have to type the R backwards or it doesn't work.
And just like Toys R Us, yes.
That's correct.
Yes. You're a little creepy there, Tim.
What? You don't think I listen to you guys? Come on.
Listen, yes. Memorize. That's weird.
No, every episode that I've been listening to, you bring up this thing. They interrupt you in the middle of the email, joke about how hard the email is. It's a never-ending thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Hit the nail on the head? Yeah.
I like you on our show a lot.
Oh, don't give me time. I'll interrupt you.
I'm going to interrupt you and ask Matthew to talk about our main topic. Our topic, Will.
Okay, well, this was actually sent to us by an Englishman in Quebec. That is his moniker. He asked us not to use his real name, but Sorry?
Don't be sorry. We couldn't pronounce it right anyway.
Oh, probably not. We can't pronounce anything right. So this is why gun owners should be on Wikipedia. He writes, Canadian firearms owners need to become an active part of the Wikipedia community. As of now, there are numerous online forums where we sit around and write long posts filled with clever observations and cited facts.
Yeah, unless you're talking about Press Check Venture mags. Okay, sorry.
We boast about our nation's firearm history and culture. We all exchange these posts and nod our heads in comfortable agreement. But for what? We need to start having these conversations and sharing our information with the greater public. Wikipedia is an excellent means of doing this, and is also in great need of our representation. A quick look at the sections on Canada proves this. The section on culture explicitly states gun control as a Canadian cultural value. The section on gun politics in Canada is missing significant information, such as criminalization of law-abiding citizens, confiscations, CFO harassment, etc. There is also a page on the shooting sports in Canada that is sadly sparse. I have heard the statement, Wikipedia isn't a reputable source for information, so why bother? I could not disagree more. Without reputable. Going into details...
Reputable?
Reputable.
I'm going to go with reputable.
It's not Calusis, it's reputable.
I'm going with reputable. Yeah, reputable is actually the correct way of saying that, but I'm sticking with reputable.
Wrong and proud of it.
Oh, man, you don't even know how proud... No, never mind. Without going into details, I'm heavily involved in education. This has given me the... I'm just going to mute you guys. I'm going to hang up on all three of you, finish reading this, and then call you guys back.
Can we talk over him? But wait, he's recording, so he's got the loudest voice.
Does,
that's right.
Yeah.
I can just edit all you guys right
out. Would you
out.
Carry on, please?
I would certainly like to. I am heavily involved in education, he continues. This has given me the opportunity to work with staff and students of public schools, private schools, CEGEPSs.
Ooh,
I don't
what?
Know what that is. SECGEBs? I don't know.
I would think that it would be something like...
Certified Educational...
No, it's like community colleges or polytechnics in Quebec, I believe.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm making it up.
And universities. The truth of the matter is that our youth use Wikipedia, and they use it to educate themselves. Professionals also use Wikipedia. We all claim to know that we shouldn't cite from Wikipedia, but it is shocking how many people use Wikipedia to find material and copy the citations. Wikipedia entries are always in the top 5 results of internet searches. Whether a child or adult, dropout or academic, Wikipedia has become a key source of information. Few can avoid the convenience when they just want to find something out quick. You may be thinking, well, why don't you go do it? Well, I am. However, edits are often controlled and discussed. Regardless of facts, if a majority of people support an error, it remains an error. I cannot do this alone. I need help. I also don't know everything there is to know. Well, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to the club.
I realize it's fun to post and argue on forums, but the same can be done on Wikipedia. The only difference is the whole world will be reading, and hopefully gun control will no longer be a Canadian cultural value. And like I said, that was sent to us by an Englishman in Quebec. That's well-written.
That's a heavy statement.
And it is heavy, and he makes some really good points, and I don't know if there's much in there that I disagree with.
There's nothing in there I disagree with. We control Wikipedia's content.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody made that bold statement that gun control is an integral part of Canadian gun culture.
Integral. I believe integral is the way you say that.
Yeah, I was afraid you were just going to get nailed for that one.
Integral. Here we go. Aluminum, aluminium, whatever.
Right. You know, reputable, yeah. Reputable.
Wow. It hurts. I understand why you don't like it.
Now you know why I keep my mouth shut.
Because when I say something wrong,
comes around.
That's because you're still bandaging the wounds from Trevor last cut you.
So I don't think Owen has to worry about Trevor cutting him. If anything, Trevor has to worry about being
cut
beaten.
By Owen.
I'm more of a baseball bat kind of guy. So, yeah, you know, this is what can we say? I mean, he's bang on.
And yeah. I don't know what else to say except go on Wikipedia and start editing, folks.
Okay, well, even though I'm a nerd extraordinaire, I keep away from Wikipedia for various reasons because it's run by a bunch of liberal slimeballs.
Imagine that, gun control being a Canadian culture being run by liberals. Yeah.
These are the people that can stay up all night and argue away on Wikipedia and edit. But anyways, do you know much about Wikipedia? Like, how does an edit work and how does the voting work or whatever before it gets into the page?
Well, you got to get registered and all that stuff.
I have edited and made instant edits as an anonymous user.
You can do instant, like it updates the page.
Instantly.
But someone can also instantly unedit them.
That is correct. So if you are a registered user, your updates will probably last longer, especially if you cite actual sources, which is what I tried to do. And a lot of... Sorry,
Jeff. But don't cite Wikipedia.
No, you can't cite Wikipedia as a source.
Now,
and apparently I can't cite my own gun blog either.
So basically somebody can look at your edit and deny the edit, basically, or vote it down or take it out or something like that?
Yes, that's what... Well, anybody can just change it again, right?
So they must get a notification that the page they monitor has been modified, and then they go looking...
I don't know if pages are monitored by certain individuals. I think that just the fact that it's public and anybody can see it and anybody can edit it at any time, that it just happens to get re-edited back
I think it'd be interesting to remove that comment and see how long it lasts removed.
Hmm.
Because we're dealing with academics, university types, like a certain lady,
yep.
Whose basic job all day getting paid by the government is to surf the web. And what do you think they're going to do? They're going to surf the web. I've got to work. I got to make money for my toys.
That's right.
That person doesn't.
So that's why this Englishman in Quebec here wants our help. He wants everybody to be doing this. And pretty soon, if the momentum builds enough, it'll be us controlling it instead of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of work. But I don't see why it couldn't be done, you know, with a bit of a snowball effect. We start off small and just build it up.
Well, of course, this has to be spread on both of our Canadian gun forums.
Yes, I concur.
We have many, many self-proclaimed experts on both those forums, more on one than the other, and these guys should be all over that sort of thing.
So, Englishman, it's kind of weird calling you that, but I'm going to continue. could we maybe get you to post this on Gun Owners of Canada and maybe Canadian Gun Nuts? And if you're not so inclined to do so, could you give us permission to do it? And I will happily post this write-up that you did, because it's fantastic. Hello, can he hear me? Can he not hear me? I'll say it louder.
No.
Son of a gun.
He heard you. He replied to me.
Oh, perfect. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Yep, you just go to Wikipedia, type in Canadian culture, and there it is in the second paragraph.
Nice.
It's awful.
Yep. No, it is. It is horrible.
Delete, save. Hey, it's that easy.
All right, folks, keep it up. So, anyway... Do we have any other comments on this? Anything else we want to add or take away from?
I'm just having a look here at the Canadian gun culture part, and there's some good info in here. Oh, okay, yeah. There's ugly stuff mixed in with the good. I see. Yeah, lots there though.
Yeah. So yeah, let's go fix this.
Cool.
Select all, delete, done.
There you go. Control A, Control X.
I got it.
It's all you gotta
I got
know.
It. I got it. Canadian Gun Culture, C, Canadian Reload Radio Network.
C, Permit Carrier.
CNRA.
Yeah.
E.
Funny. Well, we talk about the authorization to carry, too. Hey.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, if that's it for our main topic, we can jump right into our listener feedback.
Cool. Can I have the first one?
Go nuts.
Because I've been waiting, frankly, for this guy to write in, and I do believe this is the first time, right?
This is the first time that I think.
I think so, too. So, Archie Perry, it's about time. Hello!
Hey!
So, Archie Perry says, hello! I drunkenly tried to fire off a short recording to you, hopefully before you guys published your show. I failed, apparently.
He wrote this last week, just like minutes after I posted the show.
Now I have to wait a whole week before I get to hear my own voice.
Not anymore. You get to hear it in 30 seconds.
Archie, just talk to yourself. That's what I do. That is, if you guys even accept recordings in your new format. Well, of course we do, especially from you. Please accept me, he says. In my defense, Archie, if we accept Matthew, We accept just about anybody.
Just about, yeah.
And Foley's here.
Yeah, you let me on, so therefore exactly. There's definitely something wrong.
So Archie continues. He says, in my defense, I'm in a different time zone and significantly further north than you guys.
North?
So that's what matters most here, I think. And that's signed, Archie Perry. So good to hear from you, Archie. And I think we'll roll right into that audio, Matthew.
Yeah, in fact, if you guys want to hear it, I can set it up so you guys can listen to it right now with me.
I heard it, but I'd love to hear it again.
Oh, you have already heard it.
Yeah, because well, I have access good. To our email, you know.
Oh, well, in that case, no, I'll play it anyway.
All right, play it anyway.
All right, here we go.
Dearest Slamfire Radio, I thought I would share with you a story about a gun that has the ability to slam fire. I recently purchased my brother a Stevens 820B 12-gauge shotgun. It's pretty old. I don't know how old, but it's old. That said, it works great. It came with a block in the tube mag for waterfowl reasons. Federal law limits it to 2 plus 1, or something like that. Anyway, it's got a real long barrel, and at the end of the barrel is an adjustable choke, which basically looks to the untrained eye like a silencer. For instance, I've got a non-gun enthusiast friend who thinks that it's a silencer, but that's what they think. But basically, it looks like a space ray gun on the end there. It's pretty funky, but it seems to work. Anyway, I got this sweet pump gun for my brother, and again, it's a Savage 820B for only $100. In Ontario, you have to add HST, so that makes it $115. Not bad for your first pump. The first thing we did is we took it to my dad's farm and got us a nice big backdrop with a couple of stumps and sat there and loaded it. And we fired, and we realized we could slam fire. And technically, I realized the day before I could slam fire when I was reading about it on the internets. For those who don't know, the key to a successful slam fire is to draw tightly to your shoulder, aim it very carefully at what you want to shoot, and then pull the trigger. And as soon as you pull the trigger, you hold it down and immediately pump the action as fast as you can until that sucker is empty. The result is what sounds like a three-shot machine gun, and that surely upsets the neighbors. In fact, I know it did, because they came angrily telling us off that we were scaring away the animals. But it is a highly exhilarating experience. I should also make note that your ability to aim is severely diminished with each successive pump, or should I say slam. This is a technique best used on a broadside of a barn door, assuming you've lined up the door against a hill or a backdrop. Anyway, thanks for listening to your old friend, Archie Perry.
Well, there you have it. Archie Perry, debut on Slamfire Radio, slam firing a shotgun.
Those are cool.
You guys talked a couple episodes back about mag limits in semi-automatic shotguns.
Yes, yep. We did.
You didn't mention the, I'm not sure if you guys remember the letter from, what was her name? Oh my God, I remember her name. This is crazy. Rita Beauchamp. She was a RCMP firearms technologist who basically, I think it was an email, so who can count an email, right? But I assume he can get in touch with this person about the shotguns being limited to the maximum size they're chambered for. So 5/3 inch, for example, if you're chambered for 3 inch, which means you could stick 6 2 3/4 in, but you can't put 6 3 inch. So a lot of the mag extensions were set for like 5.9 or whatever, 3 inch.
Right.
Such as what's on my Benelli M4.
The only
so if you have a shotgun that runs 3.5 inch shells.
Or three.
Sorry?
No, 3 inch shells, 3 inch.
Well, what I'm saying is if you have a shotgun that runs 3.5 inch shells.
Oh, then you can go really crazy.
Then you can go, you know, you put 2 3/4 shells in there and you can jam in, you know.
Are you trying to tell me that this is like me putting 9mm ammo in a 40 caliber magazine?
Would be. But actually, she's
not legal, Trevor. You
she states, her comment was, there we go, found it. We never count the one in the chamber, no guff, and we always use the longer cartridge, even if you can use shorter shells.
That's right.
Now, this is unfortunately in a letter or an email, which can be edited by anybody, of course, and not in a bulletin. It'd be nice to get in a bulletin.
It would be, but it is nice to at least have that email that
it
says
is.
That. I mean, I've, yeah.
Because with the Benelli, I've got the... The 6 plus the one in the chamber plus the ghost load, so I can get
that's
all the
right.
way up to 8.
Mm-hmm.
But while searching for this, it was interesting. I was looking for a bulletin to see if there's one to back it up. Didn't find one, obviously. But I found two recent bulletins. There's one that just came out in June, a bulletin about retailers not being able to buy unpin mags and pin them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw an earlier one back from January last year. Not sure if you guys ever heard of this thing. It's called the X-Rail. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
That is cool.
Yes, it is.
26 shots in a shotgun, 28 out of a deli.
We won't get it, though.
I want one. Yeah, I know we can't have it. I want one, but it's a revolver for a shotgun that automatically feeds and auto-revolves.
Yeah, first person I saw running it was Jerry. And
Jerry. Not Jerry.
No soup for you.
Mr. Mikulik.
Ah, what was he running it in?
I don't know, some semi-auto thing. No, just on Top Shot or Impossible Shots or whatever it was.
Yeah, when are we getting Top Shot Canada? Anyways.
Let's start it.
You need to start it. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, because we don't have too much going as it is. No.
Three Gun Nation Canada would be cool too, but Top Shot Canada, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And
all right.
At the little bar scene at the end, they'll shoot at jars of maple syrup instead of gumballs.
That'd be fun too.
Cans of Canadian beer, eh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to go back to YouTube now and drool over this X-Rail that I can't have.
All right. You do that. We'll read the next email. Who's got it?
I think it's Owen.
Yep. This is from Tony. He says, "Hey, guys. I'm going to be headed down to the States in late August. I feel this is a great opportunity to be taking some additional firearms training while visiting. I realize that this show is more Canadian-centric, but since Trevor has already had the opportunity to have some training down in Utah, you may be able to point me in the right direction where to look. Perhaps you can even convince one of the gun dudes to come on the podcast as a guest. I will be down in the Chicago area and will be there for about a week. I already have my RPAL and hunter safety, but no formal training how to actually shoot. I go out regularly and target shoot, and I'm capable of hitting paper and clays at various ranges. I'm looking for a course that can hopefully teach me the core basics of shooting properly so I can fix any bad habits that I may be doing unknowingly. Also reading about concealed carry courses in the Chicago area. I read they take your digital fingerprints after taking the course. Are you familiar if this is just a Chicago thing or all across the states? Thank you for your time and consideration. Tony from Winnipeg."
Chicago thing.
I don't know because Matt applied for his concealed carry and he had his fingerprints taken too.
Yeah, but digital. Every state has different rules.
That's right. Gun control in the states is varied by state to state.
And from Obama land.
So you know who we should get on? We should get the unknown trucker on from the Road Gunner podcast because he makes his whole show is about educating. Well, not his whole show, but he really puts a lot of effort into educating his listeners about the different regulations from state to state because he is a trucker and because he does travel and he needs to know what he's getting into when he leaves one state and goes to the next and what he can and cannot do. So he'll also, and he's a recent graduate of the Masada Yub or MAG 40 instructor's class. So he's now a certified MAG 40 instructor. So maybe we should look at getting him on. We also have another really significant, really big U.S. podcaster lined up for next week who's starting his own training school as well.
Well, thanks for listening to what's coming up on Slamfire. Trevor, how about you answer the guy's question?
I'm not putting any names down.
No, that's cool, but how about you answer his question?
It's Matt that gives the Easter eggs away.
His question is, what training should he take if he just wants some learn how to shoot a gun training?
Well, it doesn't even have to be a concealed carry course, right?
Nope.
It can be any number of shooting schools.
If you have I know this place has a bit of a weird reputation, but I have also heard some very good things about it, and it's Front Sight. Check them out. They have inexpensive courses to start off, and I've read a couple of different reviews, and they are all saying it's actually phenomenal training.
That being said,
good stuff.
He could probably get some decent training on how to just shoot here in Canada. There's only two guys I know shot a perfect score at MAG 40 last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't believe he lives anywhere near you, seeing as his name is Tony from Winnipeg.
That's right, but it just goes to show that I was taught by Canadians how to shoot.
Okay, let's read his first sentence again. I'm going to be heading to the States in late August and feel this is a great opportunity to... So he's going to the States anyway. He wants to do some training down there.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, if you're looking for basic training, to me, I mean, any sort of range that has trainers at it is, which many of them do, are going to be able to teach you the basics.
Yep.
I mean, even go take a black badge course. You're going to learn some basics in that black badge course. They're going to, you know, I think, maybe I'm wrong on that, Trevor. Maybe here it's an exception to the rule. But
you're not going
to
recommend a Magpul video?
Well, yeah, just watch Magpul. Just watch YouTube. Hey, go to YouTube/MMATT. That's mine. You'll learn all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. No, Owen, I think you're right. I think the core of the Black Badge course is the basics, but it's the basic foundation you can build on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it talks about proper stance. It talks about proper grip. It talks about sight picture and what is aiming and where your point of focus needs to be. It's all there, really, to get you going. So,
yeah. And if he's got all that already, then that's when you start saying, okay, now this isn't basic anymore. This is, I need actually more training. It's not how to shoot the gun so much now as how to employ it.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's...
So, we'll have to find out, what state... Well, Tony should find out what state he's going... Well, of course, Tony knows what state he's going to. What I'm trying to spit out here, I'll have
I will be down in the Chicago area.
Hang on, so let me hit rewind,
Take a stab in the dark here and say he's going to Illinois. I'm just gonna...
Yeah, so he's not exactly going to the most gun-friendly state.
No, he's certainly not.
But look up online what's available in Illinois.
If you're driving through Michigan to get there, Michigan's a pretty gun-friendly state. Just saying.
And Meg 40 travels around.
That's true. You could look into that. That is an expensive course, but it's definitely worth it from what Trevor says.
Yep. And you want the Meg 40, not the Meg 20. The Meg 20 is just classroom.
Yep.
Cool.
Very good.
All right.
Well, Tim. Well, actually, you know what, Tim? You can take the one after this one.
Somebody else should take that one because that guy's got my name.
I know. This guy's... His name is Tim, so it would just
That'd
be appropriate.
Funnier.
Tim should
It'd
read
more
Tim's.
Confusing. Tim should read Tim. All right. Yeah. You're going to read Luke?
From Luke. Hi, guys. Have a look at the attachment. I just recently got my New Brunswick ATT renewal in the mail, and this letter was included. It looks like the NBCFO is trying to make friends. Also, my question. What do you guys do to cut down on dust when polishing with a vibratory tumbler? I use corn cob media, and I despise opening the tumbler to start sifting out the brass.
Stainless steel.
It burns the nose. Is there anything you guys know of that can stainless steel can be added to, added to the media? I don't know, water? I don't know. To cut down on the dust. I realize there are other systems out there that are dust-free, but I'm not looking to spend much money at the moment. Thanks, Luke Giroux.
10X had the answer for that.
What was that?
Well, first and foremost, Luke.
Stainless.
No.
I have the ultimate answer for that.
Okay,
don't clean your brass.
Buy ammo from the store. Yeah.
Don't clean your brass. What are you cleaning your brass for? It doesn't have to look shiny to go in your chamber.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Luke, start wearing a respirator because that dust that you're inhaling that burns your nose
That'll
is
kill you.
Full of lead.
Yeah.
So, step number one, start. And don't run your tumbler in your child's room.
Yeah.
You're going to want to keep that out in the garage if you can or in the basement. Mm-hmm. I've noticed
what happened
the room
to Trevor.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't always this smart. So the room where my tumbler is, like there's dust on top of the shelves. There's dust on top of things, right? And it's all from the tumbler. So it's nasty. That room happens to be dustier than any other room in the basement.
Wait, is that the room you made me sleep in? Hang on.
Yes, that's pretty much it. Yep.
But I didn't ask you to eat the paint chips. That was all you. So, okay, put it in a safe place. Wear a respirator. Now, what 10X has done is he's built a box, I think, out of corrugated plastic. He wrote us an email once when we were talking about lead safety and tumbling and stuff. It's back on the Canadian Reload Radio Show.
Right. I remember it.
He described his system for containing the dust when he takes the lid off. So he basically has it corrugated plastic box built around his tumbler. Because when the tumbler runs, some of that's going to escape. When you take the lid off, even more of it's going to escape. So if you can contain it, all the better. The best thing, though, run that sucker out in the garage or out in the shed, out of the house altogether, and wear a respirator.
And then go buy stainless steel because it's actually cheaper.
Yeah, because you never throw away the pins. Like,
never throw away the media. No dust. Perfect.
So much work, though. Do you decap everything, Tim?
Sometimes I do. It depends. Usually, nah.
See, I decap all my... You know what? I'm going to give up decapping the .223, but I'm going to keep decapping the .308, I think. And I wouldn't decap the pistol. But, man, that water's got to be absolutely polluted if you wash your brass in there without decapping it.
Without decapping it. Yeah. I just find if I don't decap it ahead of time, I just don't get nice, pretty primer pockets.
That's right. But think about what's coming out of that primer.
Oh, man. Yeah, true.
Anyway, Tim, you want to take the one from Tim? Unless guys got anything else?
Stainless steel.
All right.
Okay. So from Tim. That's funny. That's my name. Hi, Tim. Dear Eskimos. Yeah, that'd be us. Listen to the latest episode last night at work. Thanks again for making those long shifts fly by. 10X was great. Screw the cowbell. The show needs more Owen. Get in the game, bro. Don't let those other knuckleheads hog the mic. Crickets. Come on, Owen. A day after I sent that last email, I watched Matt's YouTube video. Oh, God. When he first got his SR9.
Heard that one.
Yeah, here we go. Heard him mention he couldn't change anything to it for the division he is in. So I knew that info was going to be a waste. Okay. Side note, I received my CRR t-shirt about a week and a half ago, wore it out to my gun club last Saturday. And as I am signing in, as the RSO comes over, takes one look at the shirt and exclaims, he listens to CRR too. Where's this guy from? So again,
the States. He works for Smith. No, he works for a gun manufacturer.
Oh, no way.
Wait, is this the guy that works for Ruger?
Yes.
He runs his mill for Ruger or something like that.
Rings a bell. Yeah. Yep, remember that. So again, more Owen, even if he has to smack him upside the head with a broadsword to get a word in, or beat them over the head with a, you know, revolver and a pillow.
That'll work too.
That'll work. Keep fighting the good fight and destroying the ignorance of the antis with your wisdom and shenanigans. Wait a sec. Tim F. Dude, you have the same initials as me. Long lost brother.
That's true. Are you sure you didn't write this yourself, Tim?
No, I don't do work for Ruger, but I could dream.
You know, there actually is a medieval weapon that is a
called rock, the Foley?
A rock in a no, it's a rock in a bag.
Well, hey, that's they had to start actual, somewhere.
Blackjack?
Yeah. It was a judicial weapon, and this whole revolver in a pillowcase makes me think of this. And
it what was is a rocket. Judicial weapon?
It was used by for judicial, yeah, no, judicial duels. So they would decide there would be a duel, yeah, between the guilty party and the victim, or I mean not the guilty party, but and yeah, this was one of the weapons that they often would give to actually mostly to women, and the man would have to stand in a pit with his weapon, and the woman would have the rock in the sack. And would beat the man senseless with it because she, you know, he'd done something to her, or whatever, you know. Anyway,
I'm liking like it less and less as you go on.
Episode of Matt's house, but anyway.
Yeah, sorry. But anyway.
I'm gonna get me a sack and a stone, and I'm gonna get me some revenge.
I'm digging a pit in my bedroom tonight,
man.
Sorry for the side note there. That was a little history lesson.
But. Squirrel!
Yeah, just a little.
I think you hit the squirrel with the bag and the rock.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great squirrel. Way to take out a squirrel. All right. So I know it's my turn, but I refuse to read this next one.
No problem.
I want to read it.
Yeah, well, you can read it, but we got to backtrack real quick.
Okay.
We didn't actually address the part of Luke's email where he talked about the NBA. ATT thing.
I'm thinking
and
that.
The other thing is I'm actually chatting with Peter Dawson 10X on Skype right now too, and he says hi guys and stuff. So
hey, on. Yeah.
That was all.
You know what we should do? We should get 10X on to read the email from Charla.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Well, I see the Skype going. Look out.
Mr. Dawson.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hold on a second. I just need to let me mute the TV. Sorry.
I got to find my Perth accent again. Give me a sec.
Now, the issue is somebody's going to have to copy and paste the email into the show notes or into Skype form to read. Trevor, yeah. Can you do that?
I already got it.
Oh, good. Owen's doing it. So, let's keep chatting because I don't want to edit. So, no dead space.
How's my sound quality on this one?
You're perfect. It's
your
just fine.
Your accent sounds a little like, was that Tobacco?
Yeah, I was at a pass through at Tobacco tonight. I've got a bit of a sore throat. I am absolutely convinced that as we were driving along the 401 to drop off a friend, I think Rob Ford was in his Cadillac Escalade behind us.
Oh, with his gang buddies beside him?
Well, you know what? A Cadillac Escalade, it is kind of a drug dealer's car.
Absolutely. Did he have gold rims, though?
No, and no spinners either.
So, 10X.
Yo.
Just perfect timing that you happened to pop on the Skype when you did, because this next email can only be read by you.
All righty.
So if you'll refer to the Skype conversation window there, it's there for you.
Okay. And this one comes to us from a good friend of the show, Mike Deinhoven, otherwise known as Jarlath. Just finished listening to episode 8. Other than Trevor's microphone occasionally echoing and stammering statements of void proper grammar or common sense, just scrolling down, guys. It was a very good episode, or maybe it was good because of it. I'm glad to hear that Trevor continuing to talk to higher levels of class is witnessed by having 10X on board this episode. I also applaud the desire to have a very loose and less formal podcast, and I know that just by listening to Trevor butcher the perfectly legitimate English words is enough to get a laugh or seven from the listeners. Alrighty then. Okay, and enough of the host bashing.
That was only one host getting bashed, by the way, just saying.
I'm okay with this. This is fine so far.
Oh, he didn't put an S on host. Oh, I see. Yeah,
no,
okay.
That wasn't plural.
With the rest of this one, Trevor, can I ask, what does it feel like when the bus rolls over you?
It's, at this point, I don't even feel it anymore. I've lost all feeling and
recoil.
Yeah.
Do you have any laundry tips to get the tire marks out of your clothes?
Shout and tide.
Anyway, Mike Deinhoven continues. Okay, enough with the host bashing. I have to admit the whole ADD rock squirrel letter sent in was funny as hell. I will see you all at the charity shoot. Until then, keep doing what you love to do. Spread the gospel and educate, promote, and help enhance the population's knowledge and familiarity of firearms and their responsible usage. Mike Jarlath Deinhoven.
Well done. Do you understand now why I refuse to read that letter?
Yep.
No, not at all.
It's mostly because by the end of the show, I can't read anyway.
I now understand why Owen was so willing to read it.
Oh, pick me. I'm ever so brilliant.
The only problem that I have is you guys get show notes. I get a five-lane window at the bottom, or a five-line window.
Scroll.
And sometimes that scroll button sticks a little bit.
And you know, if you grab the little three dots just above there, you can open that window right up.
Do you mean
the
ellipsis?
It kind of looks like an ellipsis, yes, but
it does, you know.
It's the grabber thing. Anyway,
showing you how much I use Skype.
You must be a Windows guy. I don't have that on the Mac.
Oh, you're on the Mac. Yes, well, those things happen to the best of us.
Yeah, we're a mixed household here. I run a PC, Simon runs the Linux Mint, and my wife runs a Mac.
Wow. You guys don't share documents at all, do you?
Open Office.
That's true.
You mentioned Linux. My claim to fame is the first dial-up Linux site in all of Canada back in 1992 with kernel 0.97p1. So there you go.
Whoa.
There was your squirrel moment.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. Not bad, Tim, but back in the 1980s, I had a 300 baud dial-up bulletin board.
So did three. I did it on a Vic modem at first, so there you go. Didn't even have auto answer. Me and a buddy did it. Look, the phone's ringing. Wait,
gentlemen, gentlemen.
Oh, no, we're squirreling, Trev.
Yeah. Your nerd is showing.
I think this is full off, like, chipmunking here.
Wow. Oh, they get squished easily.
Sorry.
Yes, they do.
Can we speed up Trevor's voice so he sounds like a chipmunk and sings like a chipmunk?
I can, yes.
You have a separate track, right? Good.
The long-lost brother, Alvin Furlotti.
Oh, I love where this is going. I can't wait to see the edits.
Well, here we go. This is the end of the show. We don't have a best iTunes review this week.
Take someone
because... Oh, Trevor, you cut in a little too early there, man.
Sorry.
It's okay. Put your helmet back on. Tighten the straps. Just hold on a second, buddy. We're almost there.
Okay.
But, yeah, please go to iTunes and write a review. We'll even read it on the show if it's funny. So,
take someone shooting.
Oh, my goodness. You're getting closer.
Click that disconnect button.
It's not long now, Trevor.
Count me off.
Jump.
Okay, well, don't forget to head over to our favorite online forums, Gun Nuts and Gun Owners of Canada.
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook if you're so inclined. That helps our exposure. Post a banner in your favorite online forum. You can get instructions for that in the contact page on
Take Someone Shooting.
Slamfireradio.com.
Don't take Trevor shooting.
Don't forget to listen to the other Canadian Real Radio Network shows, such as Tim Foley.
Crickets.
Canadian Service Rifle Conditions. Warriors Ethos
Canadian Service Rifle Conditions. You actually said that.
No, I said Canadian Service Conditions.
I wasn't talking to you, Foley.
Yeah, no, I said it wrong, but that's okay. We will see you guys at the charity shoot if you show up. Well, except for Owen, because Owen's a slacker.
Very hurtful.
And yeah, don't forget, join the NFA and the CSSA. They do good things for Canadian gun owners. Trevor?
Yes?
Oh my goodness.
Take someone shooting.
Oh. Say it now?
Yep, say it now.
Take someone shooting. I mean shooting.
Oh, thanks, Alvin.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.